It was soft, soft and silky as a mouse's ear, more like a soft little quivering animal than a sprig of sage. Sister Iphigenia rubbed the leaves once more, vigorously this time to release their volatile oils, then dropped them into the teapot. She briefly sniffed her fingers, then wiped them down the front of her woolen vest. The nuns had long ago dispensed with formal habits. Sister Iphigenia sat in the cloister, in strips of bright light alternating with deep shadow. If she had looked up, she would have seen the ribbed vaulting arching over her like the skeleton of an immense dinosaur. But Iphigenia was otherwise occupied. She was watching the fire in the courtyard, watching for the jet of steam from the kettle. Somewhere behind her was the rasping noise of Sister Margarita scrubbing the Eucharist table. Soon, both she and Sister Carla would leave off their tasks and join her in the courtyard. Today was haircut day. But none of this accounted for Iphigenia's sudden alertness. Beyond the smell of sage, the heavy odour of her own body, the cold, ashy smell of stone, the lanolin of sheep everywhere, her nose picked up an unfamiliar scent. Far away and faint, it was barely more than a whisper, a small but regular disturbance. It was there, and then it was not, like the inhalation and exhalation of breath. The kettle hissed and spattered water onto the coals. Iphigenia pulled her weight up off the bench. She went into the courtyard, lifted the heavy kettle and poured boiling water over the leaves in the pot. The fresh, antiseptic smell of sage was pleasant, and it did seem to keep insects and vermin away. On haircut day, they washed each other's hair and cut it. Then they'd tease out the strands, card and spin it, just as they did with the sheep's fleece. The sheep wandered where they liked. In the fields, through the cloisters, in the monastery, chapel, their bleating would resound, echoing up an ovine hymn to God. The scrubbing stopped. Iphigenia heard the clank of the bucket and sluicing of water down the drain. Then into the full sunlight came Sister Margarita, her pink hands still wet and dripping, her face flushed with God's work. Iphigenia's nose was jutting into the air. "What?" asked Sister Margarita, drying her hands on her woolly skirt. "Smell with no name, distant." Margarita sniffed the air, taking it in tiny bursts. She shook her head, but because she couldn't smell it, didn't mean it wasn't there. Her nose was becoming myopic. Unless a breeze carried them directly to her, distant smells had ceased to exist for Margarita. "Vinegar, pear, leather," prompted Iphigenia. "Sheep knocked over a bottle," suggested Margarita. Any further discussion of the smell was waylaid by the appearance of Sister Carla. Younger than the others, her wild and woolly hair was still black and lustrous. There were twigs, leaves and other debris in it. She dumped a basket of hair on the table, hair that had been collected from the sisters' brushes throughout the year, a whole basketful. Nestled in the hair was a pair of scissors, not quite concealing three shining drops of blood. Iphigenia looked at her sharply. "Accident," Carla explained, avoiding Iphigenia's eyes. This haircut day, it was Sister Margarita's turn to go first. Sister Iphigenia watched the clumps of grey hair fall onto the sheet. It was stronger now, the smell in the distance, and no longer intermittent. Carla was intent on her task. Sister Margarita had her eyes closed. Iphigenia moved her nose around, going through a catalogue of smells, trying to identify it. Vinegar, pear, leather, and something else, yeasty, but not the yeast of bread or wine. Her nose hovered, brought each element into synthesis. She recognised it now. It was a smell that she knew but had almost forgotten. It was the smell of a man